B-Pod Studios.
In beautiful, picturesque Dorchester, Massachusetts, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, if you haven't downloaded it yet on your smartphone, what the hell are you doing? It doesn't cost any money, so go do it now, you cheap son of a bitch. Or just tell your Alexa device to say, hey, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I hope that that just happened in your house. You're like, God damn it. Anyway, hello. Yes, we're here. There's much to discuss when it comes to the New England Patriots, who are back on the field. I've also made a decision, a conscious decision. I felt this anyway, but I'll let you know while Chris is getting set up here. I'm not going to be like fake outrage guy when it comes to like COVID panic in the NFL. Maybe that makes me a ghoul, likely so. But how I feel about the whole thing is this. Just keep playing. Just keep playing. We obviously hope that everyone's okay. It's obviously concerning when guys get the positive tests, but just, you know, I'm not going to freak out. Like, why were they at dinner? Why was Cam out with Stephon Gilmore on that Friday night? Did they know? Who knew? Is everyone doing the right thing? Like, I'll be honest. Like, I don't care. Just keep playing. And again, maybe that makes me a ghoul and the ugly American. But, you know, obviously, I don't want anything bad happening to the players. I don't want anyone getting sick. But really, when it comes down to it, like, I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not.
You just want them to play.
I do. I do, Chris. Just play. Like, and I think some of it is just so, like, oh, God, like, everybody calm down. There's got to be a Week 18. There's got to be a Week 19. The NFL wasn't prepared for this. Oh, my God, I'm going to rip my hair out. Like,
But they should have been more prepared, Jim. Like, I think there's a difference between you want them to play. That's fine. But, I mean, seriously, like, you have to have some. I know you're big on self-awareness. I feel like the NFL lacks self-awareness. They're like, well, we're the NFL. This won't affect us. How could you build a schedule in the even MLB built pad? MLB, the worst of all leagues, the worst run of all leagues, built pad time into their schedule because they're like, you know what? We're trying to play during a pandemic. What is different about this NFL season from a pure schedule standpoint than any other season?
Oh, they could have done, they could have prepared better. I will give you that. It's just, you know what I've resigned myself to, Chris, is that everyone and every major business, and pretty much myself included, we are a nation of idiots. So, so, you know, I'll cross my fingers. I'll hope for the best. I'll know that the outcome's probably not going to be that great, but I'm not going to sit here day to day as the, hopefully the season continues and be like, oh, what have they done? Oh my God. Like, we know, okay, yeah. I mean, if we have just a lick of common sense, the NFL should have been better prepared. They should have had that buffer. Maybe they should have had the buffer ready in the first month.
But you know what makes it worse though, Jim? And I hear what you're saying. But unlike, say, restaurants who have really had to adjust on the fly and I think have done a pretty good job.
Agreed.
How many of these restaurant owners would have liked to have had 6 months to prepare for this? Because the NFL had like 6 months.
You're right.
They had more time than anybody else. And that's the issue. I think any of these other American businesses you're talking about, if you gave them 6 months to get ready, they would be in a lot better shape than they are right now.
That's fair. I'll give you that. Most restaurant owners would have liked to have had that kind of buffer. The NFL did. They continued as if nothing was going on in the world, especially as it pertains to the pandemic. But, I don't know. Maybe it's just I look at it as wasted energy. I can understand why people would be upset. I can understand why people look at this and be like, the NFL's wrong. You handled it. It's just for me, like, I don't know. There's other things for me to go crazy about at this point in my life, I'll be honest. Like, I just want to see them keep playing. And maybe, again, that makes me just the ugly doofus American. Like, you just want football above all else. Like, yeah, honestly, I do.
You know what would be good? And I know this is what you want to talk about, and I'm sorry I interrupt you. I think we should have a whole hour where we break down NFL bubble scenarios. Las Vegas, Frisco, Texas. And they have a couple of adjoining fields there. I think there's something in Nebraska. I know you were bigger. Let's break down NFL bubble scenarios.
What are we going to do? Are sports going to come back? What's it going to look like when it comes back? Let's discuss for the next 4 hours. Weird times we had there back in the spring. There are things throughout the day I do want to touch on. Torrey Krug, who has become a St. Louis Blues. He is gone from Boston. Seems like the Bruins had little to no contact with him during this quick offseason, or really over the last year. Let it be known, like, they didn't want him back. And I know people feel there's no real gray area about that. You feel one way or the other. So we'll get to that. Personally, I want to know why Tuukka Rask is still here since the NHL free agency opened and there's been trade rumors. Touch on the NBA finals, which, you know, I know the ratings are down. I'll be honest, even like I didn't even watch that last night, Chris.
Ooh, I watched. It was good.
I thought it was going to be a formality. Like the Lakers are just going to wrap this thing up. And shame on me because I missed a great finish. And I was actually, believe it or not, yours truly, who mostly despises baseball, I was watching that Rays-Yankee game.
That, I watched that, too. I did see the big home run by Brosseau. That's the guy's name?
It was a great at-bat, and the whole time I was sitting there watching that thing, Chris, and saying, who the hell even is this guy? But you knew, anyone, if you've watched, you know, a baseball playoffs here over the last handful of years, if you've just watched just a little bit, and you watch a little bit of the Yankees, or even the Cubs when Aroldis Chapman was there, you knew he was going to crap his pants. So it was compelling television. It was good. That's where baseball gets me. Still in the playoffs. It still can. So that's what I was on last night. So we'll touch on that and really anything else. A lot of NFL stuff here today, especially with the Patriots, who were back at practice, Chris. Bill Belichick spoke a couple of hours ago. Cam Newton, cornerback Stephon Gilmore, not practicing today. He deflected questions as to whether or not Gilmore and Newton will actually play against the Broncos now on Monday. He said, quote, I'm not getting into a bunch of hypotheticals. We're taking it day by day, hour by hour. So it doesn't feel like, as of this hour, it's going to be Cam Newton on Monday, but that window is still there. I'd like to think he is going to play, because then it becomes the coin flip of suck of Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. Which of those two suck bags, if worst-case scenario Newton can't play, would you like to see on Monday?
I would like to see Stidham. You know, I think that Bill said this before, and I agree with this. Adversity can be an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for the Patriots to get a little better feel for Jarrett Stidham and what they have. You know, I think some people have sort of balked at the idea of Cam Newton being the bridge quarterback and maybe a guy that buys them, instead of 1 year, 2 or 3 years to find the next guy. Some people think Stidham's still the next guy. They jam Stidham down our throats as the next guy for most of the offseason, even though I never believed that for a second. So let's see what he's got. You know, I'll be honest. I saw Stidham at the beginning of training camp, and I can see why they like him, because he's one of those guys, sort of like the Ryan Tannehill in Miami, Miami version of Ryan Tannehill, who I call the Miami mannequin, where it's like from far away, you can't tell whether it's a person or not. And you're like, wow, that's a really good looking guy. Yeah. Like, that's what it's supposed
that's
to look like.
That's what a quarterback is supposed to look
and that,
like.
And Stidham has that. You look at it sometimes, he makes a throw, and you're like, now that's what a franchise quarterback looks like. And then he makes another throw, and you're like, this guy stinks. So why don't they find out exactly what they have with this guy? Because you know what you have in Hoyer. And frankly, You know, I always defend Brian Hoyer as a genuine guy, and he is. But really, he got his opportunity to do what he's supposed to do, to perform based on the only reason he's on the roster, which is that in an emergency situation, he's a guy that shouldn't need many reps or any reps to be able to go out there and just be a game manager. And he was terrible. So let's see what the kid can do.
Yeah, what you saw with Brian Hoyer, and I've certainly had my fun at his expense over the last handful of years, and rightfully so, because he's just not very good, especially as a starter. But what you saw Monday against the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris, was mind-boggling and inexcusable, especially for a longtime veteran. We're 12 years, right? He's been in the league.
It's been a long time. He entered the league in 2009.
Yeah, so to see a guy take a sack like he did, with no timeouts at the end of the first half. Like, I was watching it with Jasmine. We were watching that game, and okay, she's like, oh, well, they're going to get points here. I go, well, there's one thing he can't do, you know, because she's coming along here and learning to watch football. You know, it was kind of fun in a sick way to be like, well, there's one thing he can't do here, hon. He can't take a sack, because then they'll come out with no points. And then that's what happened. Like, it's so rudimentary, Chris, for a longtime veteran quarterback in the NFL. Like, that is so unbelievably inexcusable. So as much as I think he sucked, like, that was super suck. I couldn't even believe something like that happened.
Yeah.
And then the fumble, like, he's justified my feelings about him. Sorry, not sorry. But I don't think you can go back to a guy like that, especially if you're one of his teammates, and you saw how he completely blew that game, a game that they likely could have won, especially if Cam Newton played. And I know that hypothetical has been floated around, like, if they had Newton, they would have won that game. Like, yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to argue against that. They probably would have, because defensively and game plan-wise, they were great against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson said after their loss to Kansas City, Kansas City's our kryptonite. Like, defensively, the Patriots are Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite.
Yeah, three times since he's been a starter.
Yeah.
He's been held without a touchdown. His team's been held without a touchdown in the first half, all three of those times against the Patriots.
But with Hoyer, you can't go back to him. I firmly believe that. Like, after that, I don't know how any of his teammates would trust him. I'd rather Stidham go into that game Monday against Denver, knowing it's his game to win or lose. And I think that would, you know, answer a lot of questions that are floating around this kid. And I think he would have to be Nathan Peterman-esque and have like 5 interceptions in the first half to get pulled from that game. Like, you know, just manage the game like we asked Brian Hoyer to do. Don't do anything really that stupid. And when he came into the game, I know he had some lollipop throws. There was one to Ryan Izzo in the middle of the field that was a hospital ball that it's like, oh boy, maybe that's why this kid hasn't seen the field yet. But I'm sorry. The back of the end zone fade touchdown to N'Keal Harry.
Great throw.
It was a nice throw.
I mean, when you start to make N'Keal Harry look good, you got a little something.
Chris, I hate that play, even if we're talking about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. I hate the end zone fade. It's a low percentage play.
Oh, I hate it, too. When the Patriots would run it for Edelman, has he ever caught one of those?
No. Unless he was, like, wide open and trying to think of Super Bowl
49. It's like trying to throw a fade to a T-Rex.
Yeah, right. So, you know, and I obviously don't put that pick on him. That was on Edelman, who's now got a real problem with the drops, and it seems like age is catching up with him. I just think that there's more unknown. There's more upside with Stidham. And as a fan still of the team, like, I'd like to see that. Like, with Hoyer, I just feel like, oh, God, it's all a matter of time before something bad's going to happen. With Stidham, there's more upside.
Yeah, and I think there is just more upside. Like, you know what Hoyer is. Even if Hoyer plays well, he's a game manager. He's limited. We haven't even mentioned the most important stat around Brian Hoyer. He's lost his last 11 starts. And that's across four different organizations.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are limitations there that are rather obvious. And when you're operating an offense that is already limited based on what the, air quotes, weapons are around the quarterback, maybe you're just asking a little too much of Brian Hoyer. Now, the one area where you can make a case for Brian Hoyer, Jim, is the opponent this week. Because I really think this is one of those games where the Patriots can only lose it. Denver's not capable of winning it. And so that, I think, is the case for Hoyer, is that given this opponent, you really don't need much, and you just need the quarterback to stay out of the way if he's capable of doing that, and you'll win the game. But I also think there's a longer-term opportunity here, which is I still think you can beat Denver and put Stidham in there, give him some more game reps, and learn a little something about him and still win that football game, so you're benefiting yourself both in the short-term and the long-term.
Do you think that Belichick is upset or mad at Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore too, that these guys have come back with positive tests? Or do you think he's being level-headed about it? And from what you know and talking to players, he's being level-headed about it, and it's like, look, like, we're living in a crazy time. This is beyond my control. There's really nothing we can do about it.
I think it's the latter. I think if he were aware that these guys went to like a strip club, and I don't even know if those are open, but I'm just saying something like that, then I think he would say, this is irresponsible, you hurt the team. But just going out to dinner, if that's true, and dining indoors, which at this point in the season is becoming more of an option. I know people have strong feelings about dining indoors, but it's not illegal. I'm sure there are a lot of restaurants, frankly, that would like you to do it. The restaurants are doing the best that they can. We can argue whether it's responsible or not, but it's certainly not criminal. And so if that's the genesis, that's the provenance of the positive test, I think Bill's being level-headed about it and saying, look, you know, we're trying to play football in the middle of a pandemic. Things are going to happen.
Yeah, from what we're learning about the Tennessee situation, where those guys were like blatantly, you know, sticking up middle fingers to the rules and saying, okay, you don't want us to practice, but we're going to go out and practice. And that's how that's continued to spread there. I know Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, did an interview down in Nashville on an ESPN affiliate there with a buddy of mine, Jared Stillman, who he was talking to him and said, you know, they have the NFL, from what he had heard, Florio had heard, that has video of the Tennessee facilities with guys walking around with no masks like it's 2019. So if they're just being that obtuse about the whole thing,
cavalier,
like, that's where, you know, like, even though I open saying, like, done, like, I'm not going to freak out about it. If you're doing that kind of thing, well, then, you know, yeah, they should get hammered. Vrabel should get hammered. John Robinson, the general manager, should get hammered. There should be fines. There should be suspensions. Things like that, so the teams will take it seriously. Guys going out to dinner, like, and they're eating inside. Like, I'm not going to demonize a guy for doing anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not either. And I think if the NFL, you know, we talked about this on Felger and Maz, and there always seems to be, I think, from Felger, this sort of determination that he always wants to blame the players. And if you want to blame the players in this case, fine, go about it. But understand this, the players know what's going on, and they feel this. They feel that the NFL is asking them to take all the health risk, and then also asking them to take all the blame when something goes wrong. So if you're the NFL, if you don't want to build bubbles or pods for these guys, if you feel like outdoor dining is that much of a danger to your season, then it should be part of the protocols. Negotiate it with the NFL PA. And I'm sorry, I think I said outdoor. I meant indoor. Say, hey, you know, there's a prohibition on indoor dining during the season. Just like they've done stuff with the bye week. These guys can't leave their market, their NFL market, during the bye week. So if you feel like it's that much of a threat, then just tell them that they can't do it. But otherwise, if they turn around and do something that's legal for the rest of us and contract COVID, to then try and put all the culpability on them and scapegoat them when they're taking all of the risk, that just doesn't sit well for me. And I'll say this too, it doesn't sit well for me in a league that 70% black. And I'm not making it a racial issue, but I do think for some people, it's easier to throw it on the players in a league that's 70% black and say, oh, you know, they were irresponsible. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't do that. Well, it's like, look, follow the protocols. Did they break any protocols by going out to dinner and having dinner with a teammate and dining indoors?
No, and here's the other reason that dinner thing has been overblown. Because I said even towards the week, like in the middle of the week, thinking about it, it's like, oh, there is a way, like to me in a way, like you look at how Tennessee did it and how ignorant that they were of all the rules and just, you know, again, just saying like, ah, the hell with this. Yeah. There is a feeling to me that you almost have to like work to get it in a way. But in Newton and Gilmore's case, going to the dinner, you know why I don't think that's a big deal? We would have heard about what the restaurant was. We would have heard about an outbreak in that restaurant, right? Like at this point, that's now a week ago.
It's true.
So I don't know. Like maybe it was something else. I don't know. But I'm not gonna get on those guys for that. Either way, Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore, absent today as the Patriots are back in the practice field. Apparently, Devin McCourty is missing from practice for non-injury reasons as well. But the game is on Monday. For the second straight week, as they'll be hosting the Denver Broncos at 5 o'clock kickoff at Gillette Stadium. You can catch it here on 98.5 Sports. I want to hear from you, your thoughts on this at 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray here on the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, there's nothing more important than the health of the team. I mean, without a healthy team, you don't have a team. So that's priority number one. And I'd say not only for our team, but also for their families and people that are close to them. So that's always our number one concern. You know, we'll try to do everything we can to make that the best that we can make it.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Nothing more important than the health of the team. Well, that's obvious, right? Patriots game has been moved from Sunday to Monday as they host the Denver Broncos. It's game on, which I like. But there has been an inconvenience factor here, Chris. Like two straight weeks here, you know, the schedule's been all shook up. Is it bothering you on that end?
Personally, yes. Yeah personally, it's messing me up. It's messing up my ability to do pregame, although I will be with Bertrand on Monday at 2 o'clock for Patriots pregame. So that's good. But yeah, it's messing with my schedule a little bit. And I look at it for the Patriots. I know Bill kind of poo-pooed it today, but from a competitive standpoint, you're going to play two games where you have basically one practice. I mean, that's kind of tough, or you go a week essentially with one practice. So that's really a challenge for them. Now, lucky for them, obviously after they play this game on Monday, they go into the bye. Hopefully they can get fully healthy, eradicate COVID from the facility and from among their team personnel and just move on with their season. But yeah, two weeks in a row to have your game moved and to have your facility closed down, that's not conducive to winning.
And part of this, you mentioned in the first segment, when these teams go into the bye, is that they can't leave the areas of where the teams are. You think that that's actually going to happen? Do you feel confident?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I don't. I just don't. My trust in humankind is really at an all-time low. So, yeah, I'd like to think that guys will, quote-unquote, do the right thing. Again, am I going to get mad about it? I'm not. I'm not. I've now made that statement. But I don't know. I just know that you can't be surprised. And that's going to be the real test, I think, throughout the league. As these bye weeks start, Chris, if guys start coming back and there's positive tests, and you look at it, it's like the bye week, like, okay, what were you doing? You know, like, I don't know. You know, you can obviously have a paper trail if they're flying somewhere, but you kind of can't catch them if they're driving.
Well, here's the thing, though. What if they have family members? Cam Newton's talked about this. You know, my family's not here. So what if the bye week's the time where you have the family come and visit, and the family maybe has been in another part of the country and exposed to it, and then you get it that way? Is that See, that's what I mean. Like, I can't blame a guy for that. Like, you want to see your family.
That's not something I would get mad at. You know, like, if you're able to, and it's one of the states that's approved, right? Like, so, you know, one of the approved areas now is Washington, D.C. If you have some family members in D.C., they come up to New England, they visit you, but one of them had it, and they spread it. Like, well, I mean, it's just beyond your control. What the hell are you going to do? If you hadn't seen your family in months and you want to see him, like, I'm not going to demonize a guy for that. All right, your thoughts on all this so far. We'll start off with Steve in Waltham. You're first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
It seems I want to make a baseball point and a football point, and they're both related somewhat to safety. It seems like these leagues put whatever they can do in place, the proper precautions in place, and no matter what happens, something, you know, is going to make them have to change on the fly. Baseball, for example, had, you know, the thing that happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals, whatever, so now we have makeup games, and now post-trade deadline, when teams have already set their rosters for the playoffs, they've now decided, all right, we're going to stick all the playoff teams in a bubble, and you're going to play consecutive games. So the reason why I'm saying all this is because you watched last night's game, and I'm watching the game, and they're bringing in Zach Britton with 11 outs to go, essentially, in the game. Okay, so now you want 11 outs from Britton and Chapman, who pitched the night before. But you've never had this stuff in the playoffs. You've had the day off in between series, et cetera. So when I saw 11 outs, I said, there's no way they would be able to, because I know what Boone wanted to do. He wanted to close out the game with those two. I'm like, they're not going to get 11 outs from these two guys. It's not going to happen. Okay? And then let's go to football, okay? You put all these precautions in place, but the players are the players. They're going to behave the way they've normally behaved. They're going to socialize. They're going to interact. This is a very small sidebar, but I thought one of the helmet companies was going to build a protective shield for the helmets, so at least it wouldn't happen on the field. I'm guessing that's not a concern. The positive cases are happening off the field when the interactions. So as much as you try to put these precautions in place, you still have human beings who are going to behave the way they normally behave, no matter what you tell them to do.
That's what it comes down to, Steve. Like, that's the way I look at it. So that's why I'm not going to freak out about it. I understand that it's very frustrating for some people. It's just like, can't you just behave? Like, at this point, and the toothpaste is out of the tube, Chris. That's the way I look at it.
But I disagree with this one part of what he said. I do think the players have altered their behavior. Now, have they altered it to the degree that maybe some people would want them to, which is basically to create an artificial bubble when the league won't create a bubble for them? I think the players in most places are wearing masks. And in terms of going out, like, do you think they're going out like they normally would during the season?
No, where the hell is there to go?
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, going to dinner with a teammate is not like being, you know, we're not talking about like Plaxico Burress being out in the club with a loaded weapon and shooting himself. Like, that's not what's happening here. You know, this is not like, oh, you know, this guy was at the casino in Vegas and got COVID. This is like, oh, I went to dinner with my teammate, you know, probably at like Patriot Place or something or whatever, and we ended up getting COVID. That's not a football thing. That's anybody. You know, so I think they have adjusted their behavior, but I just don't think, not only for a sports league, but as a country, there's no foolproof manner of behavior to prevent you from getting COVID. The only things that have worked have been the NHL, which built two bubbles in another country where they have COVID under control, Canada, and the NBA, which built a bubble, which is probably the most restrictive of all the bubbles, down in Disney World. Those are the only things that have really worked.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons I'm now so just kind of nonchalant about the whole thing, Chris, is like with Major League Baseball and the NFL, if you're not going to have a bubble, like positive tests are going to happen.
Yeah.
So what the hell are you going to do about it? You know,
like,
so
you got to move on. Yeah, you have to. I mean, go ahead. You try and play the game. You try and make sure it's not an outbreak. I think if you want to be outraged and if people want to be outraged and people want to put blame on the players, and you reference this, I think you got to look at Tennessee where guys weren't wearing masks.
Yeah,
and
that's the
even,
one.
Even, and here's the worst part. Even after they had an outbreak, so now you know you have an outbreak on your team, you have Ryan Tannehill organizing, allegedly, practices off-site with guys, and so that's spreading the contamination. If you want to be mad, like, you should be mad about that. You want to blame a player, blame Ryan Tannehill for organizing that stuff and for being cavalier about COVID. But don't blame Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore for going to dinner.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the risk of contradicting myself. I said, too, earlier, like, well, I'm going to just be like, okay, just play. Things are going to happen. Just try to control it as best you can. You hope for the best in terms of these players' health. But with the Tennessee Titans, you're right to be mad about them because they were complete a-holes about it. And they should get whacked. They should get penalized. And maybe that means there's been speculation speculation about a year-long suspension for their GM, John Robinson, and the head coach, Mike Vrabel. Because if they knew when they were behind some of these organized activities, after the NFL told them, look, stop being dicks about this, then they should get whacked and penalized. 617-779-0985. Couple open phone lines. You want to join us? We'll get to your calls. Coming up next here on Gasper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
But if the world lost Eddie Van Halen, virtuoso, and in my mind, the most influential guitarist in the history of music, I stand by that. I have done quite the deep dive on YouTube of all things Van Halen since his passing midweek, because they were one of my favorites. And one of the reasons Eddie Van Halen, I think like most people, is why I say he's the most influential guitarist of all time, Chris. If you were of a certain age and you grew up listening to Van Halen, you were influenced by those videos, and you hear that music. And anytime I hear their music, and that Pound Cake video too, like, go back and watch that. It's so great. It's like everything I wanted as a young boy growing up. Like, do you remember the video?
I don't, honestly.
Yeah, so the video is, the premise is this. It's Van Halen on the stage playing Pound Cake, but the other part of the video, it's interspersed with clips of girls preparing to be in Van Halen videos. So it's like hot models in a dressing room, ready to either, like, catfight or do each other. It's so hot, even to this day. Oh, it's so great. So watching that and them rock out, it's like, oh, how can you not love Van Halen? So anytime I hear the music, still I have this Pavlovian response of just, like, beers and bikinis and just, like, man, that 80s rock and, like, yeah, all that things that
came. The 80s,
like,
was a more innocent sort of era of fun.
But that sound, too, and their music was always fun. He's one of the reasons that I picked up a guitar. It's why I say he's one of the most influential, if not the most influential guitarist of all time. Like, if you're of a certain age, EVH is the reason that you picked up a guitar. I know I was one of those people. But I'll tell you, not many famous people deaths shake me. That one shook me. That, Chris Cornell, Adam Yauch, mostly musicians, because, you know, you do connect with music in a certain way. Oh, God, that sucked. I knew he was dealing with throat cancer, but 65?
Young. And I said this, and I know, you know, some people regard them as sort of more of a 70s band, but for me, being a child of the 80s, I felt like the 80s died.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're so synonymous with all of that. Again, all those videos that were beers and bikinis and good times.
Yes.
And, like, rocking and just, oh, man. Duh. God,
did you hear
sucks.
The story? I didn't know this. Did you hear the story about how he rearranged Beat It?
Yes.
From Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson didn't even know. And basically, like, Michael Jackson came back in, and he was worried that Michael Jackson would be like, oh, man, you messed with my song. And Michael Jackson loved it and was like, I really appreciate the fact that you didn't just show up to do your part. You actually care about my music, and you made it better.
The man was a genius. He was a torture genius, like what usually comes with that kind of level of virtuosity and that level of, you know, brain power. It's a tortured life, and it was. The man was a raging alcoholic. Throughout, even just, I think it's pretty much one of the reasons I think he ended up with throat cancer, because of the drug use and heavy drinking for all those years. But man, when he was on, like, he could play any instrument. It was a big fight between him and the band leading into 1984, their biggest album, which had their biggest hits like Jump. You know, guys at that age were preparing to hear, like, more rocking and guitars from Eddie Van Halen and the band. And he decided, no, we're going keyboards on this. And yeah, he still played guitar on it, but it was a keyboard heavy album. Obviously, Jump is. It starts with that riff that we all know.
Yeah.
And there was big fights between he and the band at the time. Like, what are you doing? You're going to ruin this for us. And it ends up being their biggest hit, you know?
Wow. So that's genius.
Yeah. The guy was, man, that one hurt. That one left a mark. I saw that pop up on Twitter the other day. I was like, God, son of a bitch, man, this is the worst year ever. And now we've lost Eddie Van Halen. But I'm telling you, if it's been years since you've seen, and even you, Chris, if you're not a fan of the music, watch that Pound Cake video. Still hot. Still so hot. All right, we'll go to your calls when it comes to the Patriots, the COVID outbreak in the NFL, panic there, how you're feeling about the whole thing. Patriots game coming up on Denver, still as of this hour, on Monday with a 5 o'clock kickoff. Hey, let's go to Dakota in Braintree. Hey, Dakota.
Hey, unfortunately, I'm not on my landline, so I'm traveling down to play Pine Hills this afternoon, so nice. Hopefully my mobile phone is as good as my landline. My first point is, you know, I think the Patriots should get some type of congratulations because they had a COVID outbreak and it was pretty much contained. So if anybody was concerned about protocols not being followed in and around with the players, they definitely did it because as we've seen in other teams, you know, there has been many COVID outbreaks. So one of the things that nobody's talking about that I think the NFL could do is instead of pushing these teams out to, you know, extra weeks or trying to figure out when they can fit them in the schedule, they should use the planned bye weeks that the teams currently have. Like next week, and I haven't looked at the schedule enough, but let's say the Patriots are on the bye week with a team like the Bills, and they're fine. Negative cases, they could play that week. They should actually move that up, save the end of the season, just in case there's outbreaks later. So if you, and I think the NFL should have looked at that going in to kind of move that up. So that's my first thing. The second thing is, Jim or Chris, I need a prop to give away some cash on Twitter for the Monday Night Patriots game. So maybe you can help me out and figure out what cash prop I should do.
Yeah, I know you got the hashtag Dakota Cash Bomb giveaway. Today you got one for the Clemson Hurricanes game, right?
Yeah, if the Hurricanes beat the Clemson Tigers outright at Dakota Damas, I'm going to give away 1,000 cash for free.
Nice,
to
Dakota.
Anyone that follows me and retweets that. And so I got to come up with one for the Patriots. I've done a Patriots one every week. And I mean, if Cam plays, maybe 4 TDs combined for Cam Newton seems like a good one. But maybe you guys can come up with something that's fun for me, and I can use that.
All right.
We'll have to put our brains together and pause it.
How about trying to think, because obviously, you know, he wants the house needs to be favored here, too. I mean, because Denver sucks. How about over under 4 interceptions for the Patriots defense?
Yeah, that's actually not bad. I mean, with Brett Rippon, if Drew Locke gives it a go, Jeff Driscoll. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like this week the Patriots opponent is not the Broncos, whose only win is against the Jets. Boy, if there was ever a team that, you know, should have gotten COVID, that probably wanted to get COVID to end their season, the Jets can't even get COVID correctly. They had a false positive.
Yeah, with so much uncertainty with who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Patriots, Dakota, I would do something based on the Patriots defense. I like over under 4 picks. That one I think could maybe benefit you there. If you're not following Dakota, and he does pay out. I actually know for a fact, like, he does pay out. This isn't a crock. It's at Dakota Damas. At Dakota Damas. I'll retweet his Dakota Cash Bomb giveaway right now for today's game that he mentioned, Clemson and the Miami Hurricanes. Good to be with that, Dakota.
So we have a little breaking Bruins news.
Yeah, let's hit it.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And is it exciting? It's not. But
it's Johnny Gaudreau. Oh, no, wait.
Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
No, yep. Just Jim so happy to announce news that wasn't real.
I still remember I was driving and I was so excited, and then you were like, oh.
Our old program director, Mike Thomas, hated that clip so much that we were told
we were banned from playing it.
From playing it, because I think it made the station look bad. It's like, no, it made me look bad.
It made
bad.
You look. And by the way, if you're on the edge of your seat in this breaking news, if it were Taylor Hall, we would have told you by now.
Yeah, right.
We wouldn't be BSing about Johnny Gaudreau.
So Bruins GM Don Sweeney announced just a short time ago that the Bruins have signed forward Craig Smith to a 3-year contract, annual NHL cap hit of $3.1 million. He's 31 years old, skated in 69 games. Nice. With the Predators last year, recording 18 goals, 13 assists for 31 points with a plus 18 rating. He's reached the 20-goal mark in 5 of his 9 innings. Hey, he's just a guy. Just a guy. It's nothing exciting.
No! Bring the cup!
Yeah.
We got the cup now. This is it. They're over the top, you know? Torrey Krug out, Craig Smith in. There it is.
The
cup's coming back.
Not a big name. The thing.
Cup on Causeway Street. This is it.
The thing that continues to annoy me with the Bruins since free agency officially started just a day or so ago is that the goalie's still here, and I wish he wasn't. Nate in Boston, as we were just yammering on about Van Halen and the loss of Eddie Van Halen this week. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Jim. So I wanted to call earlier in the week. When you said, when you were talking about Van Halen on Felger and Maz, I completely agree with you. He's, in my opinion, the greatest. At least in rock, he's the most influential guitar player ever. I'm only 20 years old, but I've been playing guitar for 10 years. And pretty much everyone I talked to growing up playing guitar, they would tell me, you know, you need to listen to Van Halen. And I got so mad when Felger had a nerve to say Eric Clapton, whom I love, but who he's literally had a whole career just ripping guys off. Meanwhile, Eddie Van Halen, he was just an innovator. So I just want to say thank you for, you know, stick it up for like actual guitar players that actually listen to, you know, guitarists and music. They would know about Eddie Van Halen. So I just want to say I completely agree with you.
Thanks, Nate. And I think that's what it is. If you picked up a guitar and you like bought Guitar World or any of the guitar magazines and, you know, you're trying to emulate someone, like Eddie Van Halen's the guy. He's like right at the top, or he's like in the top two or three. Clapton, great. Jimmy Page, great. Like all those other guys, like, I don't know. Like a lot of those blues guys, like he just mentioned, they kind of ripped a lot of people off.
Really?
Yeah.
So I never played guitar, but I always thought just from the outside that Clapton was the guy.
Yeah, and he was for that period, like through the 60s. I mean, people were, you know, in England spray painting and Clapton is God, and, you know, he had the nickname Slowhand and all that. And especially if you listen to some of that early stuff and like when he was with Cream for that short period of time, it's amazing. But Eddie Van Halen sounded like it was like alien. Like when people, I would imagine if you were like a 16-year-old boy and you heard Eruption and the finger tapping thing for the first time and no one knew what finger tapping was, you're like, what even is this? It was bananas. And it still is to listen to. Lucky enough, I got to see him a couple of times. And he wasn't what he was. He was older. But like the guy was still like when, you know, normally.
Was it Stevie Nicks caliber?
No. She waddled out and just like. Mumbled through those songs. It was so terrible. Oh, my God. Get off the pill, Stevie Nicks. Jesus. No, a lot of these legends, like, and I still firmly believe this. You know, if you have the opportunity to see legends, see them, even if you don't really like them. I don't like country music at all, Chris.
Yeah.
The wife and I went and saw Dolly Parton some years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
At the Wang. One of the best shows I've ever saw in my entire life.
Oh, that's
uplifting,
really cool.
Fun. All that's probably moot now because shows will never happen again, thanks to COVID. But
well, at least you saw Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, if and when that does happen, you should get an opportunity, if it arises, go see those heroes and the greats, because they're dropping like flies now, aren't they? All right, couple open lines. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. Let's get to another legend who didn't really look that good on Thursday night, Chris. Tom Brady.
Yes.
I can't bear to watch this if it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Said on Felger and Maz yesterday.
Like unforgivable.
Like the ending of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, when Chief Broom puts the pillow over McMurphy's head, right? I can't bear to see you like this. I'm going to set you free. That's how I felt about Brady. Put the pillow over his head.
Well, the good news for you
finish
is Bruce,
him off.
Bruce Arians is the pillow.
Oh, my God. Jesus. If it's going to look like this, just retire, dude. We'll get to Brady, his performance, and whether or not these two actually miss each other. By that, we mean Brady and Belichick, seeing how things have kind of played out here the last couple of weeks for both teams, the Bucs and the Patriots. That's next here on Gaspar Murray.
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year, what, Murray, what?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom. I think you kind of addressed it a little bit in Rick's question, but I mean, was it clear for you guys whether it was third or fourth down on that last play?
Yeah, we just you're up against the clock and you're up against the I knew we had to gain a chunk, so I should have been thinking more first down instead of chunk on that down. So.
Gaspar Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. All right, let's talk about this, because you and I still card-carrying members of the Brady fan club, Brady Bobos, if you will. It took me a little while to get back in after I got removed because of all the things I said about how Brady acts off the field. He still is a disingenuous weirdo, but on the field, still the greatest ever, my favorite athlete ever. Chris, I'm having a hard time watching down there with that Buccaneers team. They are undisciplined, they're poorly coached, they're stupid. I hate them. I hate them. having to watch this team. Well, you don't have to. Brady left us. You don't have to watch. No, I still do, and I'm still rooting for him. I still want him to go to the Super Bowl and win, spitefully, another one with that team, because he certainly still has something left in the tank.
Yeah.
It's everyone else he's surrounded by that blows, except for Levante David. I love him, the linebacker. Rest of that team, ugh, get out
there's
of my
a
face.
Lot of, there's a lot of loser ugh. In the DNA of that team, and I feel like some of it's rubbing off on Brady.
Sure is.
And I feel like it's influencing him more than he's influencing them. And there's a special kind of stupidity down there with that team. And every week they have to overcome something to win a game. Bill Belichick's right, and this is what makes Bill Belichick a genius, is that more games in the NFL are lost than won. And one thing about Bill's teams, usually, not all the time, but usually they don't beat themselves. Now, Monday night, they did beat themselves against the Chiefs. But usually they do not beat themselves. The Buccaneers routinely beat themselves, and you have to overcome it. And when I look at what Brady did in terms of forgetting the downs, and he did, I mean, it's inexcusable. It's unforgivable. That's on him 100%. I mean, that really was his Willie Mays stumbling around in center field in Shea Stadium moment where you're like, oh, my God, what happened to this idol I had?
Yeah.
I mean, that's on Brady. But you can argue it never should have even come to that point just based on the lack of discipline and situational awareness that the Buccaneers display on a weekly basis. And I've been thinking about this, Jim, and I think that Brady – in a lot of ways has it tougher than Bill, because Bill is such a great coach. He can, if you give Bill a guy who's 75% of Tom Brady, he can still win. And I think it's easier to find a quarterback who's 75% of Tom Brady than to find a coach that's 75% of Bill Belichick. And Bruce Arians is maybe like 20% of Bill Belichick. You know, I would like to see Tom with like a Sean Payton or somebody like that.
Yeah, me too.
But there's such a gap. I think that it's kind of slanted, really, for Brady to try and replicate what happened in New England, because how are you going to find another coach who's 70% or 75% of Belichick, whereas I think Belichick can look at a quarterback and say, okay, if I can get this guy to play to 70 or 75% of Brady, we're fine. My only issue with some of the Belichick Bobos, Michael Felger, is that you can't give the coach all the credit, as has been happening most of this year, when the quarterback plays well. You're telling me Bill Belichick rebuilt Cam Newton with no training camp and no offseason, and the only reason Cam's playing well is because he's being coached by Bill Belichick, not because he's healthy or the last time he was healthy with Norv Turner as his OC, he completed 68% of his passes. No, Bill Belichick tapped his magic wand and put the Patriot pixie dust on Newton, and now he's good and he can throw. But then when Brian Hoyer's out there and looks like garbage and doesn't know how many timeouts they have, well, that's just all the players' fault. The coach has nothing to do with that. That's wildly inconsistent, and it puts the players in a no-win. Whenever anything goes well situationally, it's we practice this on Friday. Whenever there's something that's messed up, like 2010, they run that fake punt. Oh, Patrick Chung just went rogue. That wasn't called. They never practiced it. It wasn't an audible that was automatic or was in. He just decided on his own without any input or practice from Bill that they were going to run a fake punt that was a failure. Every failure he gets distance from, every success he gets all the credit for. That's not fair to the players,
no.
Bottom line.
That's why I often refer to him as Bill Jong-un. He's infallible. You know, everything that he does is the right
thing. And
decision.
He is the best. I mean, I'm not debating that.
Yeah.
He's the best coach in the league, and I think it's easier for him to win without Tom than it is for Tom to win without him. I admit that. But I thought, frankly, and now I'm getting fired up again like I was yesterday, I thought it was sort of disgraceful what the commentary was this week in terms of, oh, you know, well, you know, Hoyer didn't get any reps, and they didn't get this. When I go back to 2016, when he's winning with Garoppolo and Brissett on short notice on a Thursday night, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Look what they did with this quarterback. They gave all the credit to the coach and none to Brissett, who had never started an NFL game. Meanwhile, they have Hoyer, who prior to that game had made 39 starts, and he goes out there and throws up all over his shoes, and it's like, well, that has nothing to do with the coaching. That's just Hoyer.
Yeah, no, Cam Newton is succeeding here because he's healthy, and he's Cam Newton, a former MVP.
Exactly.
Who had success under idiot coaches like Norv Turner, who is just one of these retreads who just won't go away. And he's been put in a good position, but it's more about Cam Newton than is anything else. If you want to make the Belichick argument and why Brady certainly probably misses Bill Belichick and being under his tutelage for all this time, even though he got sick of him and how he acted and didn't treat him right and all that kind of stuff, we know. Look at the penalties,
yes,
Chris. The penalties is where you have your argument. You had the first offensive penalty in the Patriots through almost 3.5 games on Monday.
Correct.
Damian Harris aligned as a fullback, and Isaiah Wynn gets called for a false start.
Yep.
I've been hammering this with Joe Murray in the postgame since we started this season. That's been incredibly impressive to me.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people are watching this, but this offensive line, with a new offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, gone. You have David Andrews back for the first time in a year. Like, you have some new faces, guys being put in different positions because of injuries at times. And they had no penalties through the first, like, three games. It was ridiculous. New quarterback for the first time in 20 years. Like, that's incredibly impressive. Whereas the Bucs, again, this is what I talk about, undisciplined, poorly coached, stupid. They've committed 42 penalties after five games.
Oof.
42.
Oof.
And that thing Thursday night, Mike Evans shoving a defender, OPI. Ryan Jensen, unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, I have that Ryan Jensen play up right here. So, this is the third quarter. They're on this drive. They complete a pass for 11 yards to the Chicago 44. So you're closing in on field goal range. But nope. 15-yard penalty on Ryan Jensen for headbutting after the play, which was so stupid.
And that's the big fat center who looks like a Game of Thrones character.
He also looks like O'Doyle, O'Doyle rules. He looks like O'Doyle rules.
Donovan Smith holding call. Offsets
he's terrible.
Mack roughing the passer. Donovan Smith, false starts. They're all drive killers. And that's why Brady lost his mind, rightfully so, on the sideline. Chris, I mean it, like, as a Bobo of him, I can't watch it like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it like this. He would have been better off retiring if it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
And if you look at their schedule, Chiefs, Green Bay, got to go to Vegas. And I know there's no fans, but there's still some tough games on that schedule. If it really goes sideways, that offensive line is having problems. They're committing penalties to the way that they are. Like 8-8, 9-7 is on the table. They might not even get into the playoffs.
I think they'll get into the playoffs because you have to remember it's seven teams per conference this year. And I think Atlanta, your Falcons are terrible. And Carolina has shown more fight than I thought, but there's not a ton of talent there.
Right.
I think that they will sneak in. The NFC East stinks. So I think they'll sneak in as a wild card at the end of the day. But it is painful to watch, the 11 penalties. And obviously he has to take the blame there. I mean, he had the first down. You know what that play reminded me of? And I know he forgot the downs. But for those who say I never criticized Tom Brady, remember when I pointed out to you in Super Bowl 52 that the strip sack of Brandon Graham, he had James White for the
wide
first down,
on the right
wide
flat,
open,
yeah.
And he didn't throw the check down. He was waiting for Gronk to clear and tried to throw it over the middle. It reminded me of that. Like, that strip sack in Super Bowl 52 was Brady's fault. He had the first down. He got greedy. He should have thrown the check down. Same thing there. Whether he forgot the downs or not, Vaughn was there at the marker for the first down, wide open. All he had to do was flip it to him for the check down, and they had it.
I hate everyone on that team, Chris. I really do. Levante David.
I like Ronald Jones.
I've loved him forever. David, I think, is awesome. You don't know about him because why would you know about a linebacker in Tampa Bay unless you're, like, really paying attention? But it's Brady. It's him.
You don't like Rojo?
Not really. I guess I could. I know. Antoine Winfield's kid because I like Antoine
Winfield. Winfield's kid, yeah.
But the rest of them, especially that coaching staff, like, get out of my face. Run, Tom. Like, say your family's afraid of COVID. Giselle don't want you playing anymore. Walk away. I can't watch it if it's going to look like this. No commercials here. Get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines. The Bruins have made their second signing of free agency. Tell you about that. Very exciting. It's not. And then we'll get right to your calls here on Gasper and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.